She looked up at the tree hanging low overhead and immediately understood. Clambering up into the tree, she edged out along a thick dipping bough. Below her she could see Dandin, ashen-faced, as he hung onto the hair of Lena, the swamp oozing around his chin and lips.
Hold on, Dandin! Hold on!
Knotting Gullwacker tight to the end of the bough, she called out.
Tarquin, Dory, get up here and lean on this branch, belly down!
Without questioning Marielle, they clambered up into the tree, scrambling out along the branch until they were close to her. Both Tarquin and Dory followed Marielle's example, straddling the bough, stomachs down, jerking to exert more pressure on the limb. The swamp had closed over Dandin's mouth. He took a final breath as it started to flood into his nostrils, fighting back the welling panic as it oozed around his eyes. Marielle felt the branch bend lower. Grabbing Dandin's outstretched paws, she noosed the Gullwacker tight around them, calling to her companions.
Back off now! Back along the branch, quick!
Following them with all speed, she managed to cry out as they hung over the path.
Jump!
The swamp had sucked Dandin under. His head disappeared from view. Marielle, Dury and Tarquin jumped heavily from the tree to the path, falling in an awkward heap atop each other. The bough straightened with a tremendous rush. Dandin was hauled clear of the swamp with a huge, squelching plop. He hung there, dangling above the swamp at the rope's end by both paws, covered from ears to tail in thick, foul mud. Pulling the sword from where it stood quivering on the trail side, where Dandin had dropped it, Tarquin leaned out, supported by Marielle and Dury. Holding the sword by its blade, he hooked the crosstree hilt into Dandin's belt and pulled him in. Marielle and Dury grabbed Dandin's limp body. Tarquin swung the sword upward with a mighty slash, severing the end of the bough that the Gullwacker was tied to. All four fell back in a heap on the path side. While Tarquin undid the knots to free Dandin's paws, Marielle poured water from their flasks over his face, washing away the ooze that caked it. Dury forced his mouth open whilst Marielle poured water into it. Dandin struggled feebly and coughed. Marielle sighed her relief. Her voice choking with emotion for her friend, she tried to sound busy and practical.
Thank goodness for that. I thought he was gone for a moment there.
Tears were flowing down Dudley Quill's homely face as he joked.
Our Dandin a goner? No, he'll be all right. I remember Father Abbott saying he used to eat mud pies when he were a divin.
Laughing and crying at the same time, Dudley hugged Dandin's paw. A fire was lit, though only a small one, with the limited supply of fuel in the swamp. Tarquin took a turn at making some mushroom and turnip broth, while Marielle tended to Dandin. The young mouse had recovered sufficiently to sit up. He looked away from the Darkland swamp and shuddered.
It filled my nose and eyes and sucked me under, right under. It was horrible. I'll never forget it as long as I live.
Marielle patted his back gently.
There, there, it's all right, you're safe now. Good job you thought of the tree, Dory.
The hedgehog looked at her oddly.
I didn't mention no tree, missy.
Oh, it must have been Tarquin then. Oh, thank you, Tarquin.
Don't mention it, old thing. But you don't mind me saying, what tree?
You mean it wasn't you who said, the tree, the tree?
Nope, sorry. Must have been some other beastie.
Dandin and Marielle looked at each other. Dandin smiled.
Aye, the same one who told me to hold my paws up straight after I went under. Good old Martin the Warrior.
After a few hours, they were able to resume their journey, backtracking until they found another path which looked fairly straight and safe. Marielle walked in front, holding the wart-skinned toad's lantern. It made the visibility slightly better. Tarquin followed at the rear, cleaning mud from his hair Alina.
Supreme sacrifice, what? Chap keeping another chap afloat in a belly swamp with his hair Alina? Not many would do that, you know. Bet on Rosie would think it was a jolly noble effort on my part. Fact, I'm sure she would.
He turned to the big frilled lizard that was following him.
I mean to say, a chap's hair Alina is a very personal possession, what? Oh my gosh, Eulalia!
Tarquin suddenly brained the lizard with the hair Alina, knocking it flying into the swamp. other lizards sinuously scaled up from the sloping path sides where they had been following the travellers. There were at least 20 or 30, an assortment of newts and frilled lizards, their reptilian tongues flickering in and out as they watched the four travellers through cold basilisk eyes. Durry threw up his paws in despair.
Lackaday, what now? We've had sticklegs, pikes, adders, flitchoy, mad owls, a warty toad, and now this, dragons. My Nuncle Gabe wouldn't believe a word if I told him. More like he'd say that I had been a-drinking of his strong blackberry wine. Marielle, tell a poor lad who's far from home, what do we do now?
It was a strange scene. They stood on the trail holding a hasty conference, watched by the silent, unblinking lizards.
We have two choices, Durry. Stand and fight or make a run for it.
Dandin drew his sword.
I'm with you, Marielle. Just say the word.
Now steady in the ranks there, chaps.
Tarquin interrupted.
I've already cracked a valuable Herolina on one blinking reptile's bonce. Hold fast a moment, will you? I could be mistaken, but just a moment ago, I swear I felt a bit of a light zephyr.
Durry wrinkled his snout.
A what?
A light zephyr, me old scout. A vagrant breeze. A fortunate breath. A belly puff of wind, in fact. Just give me a moment, will you?